slop, clankers, prompt goblins. Those are just a few of the not-so-nice terms that have popped up over the past few years thanks to the explosion of AI.
AI is changing the game for creators everywhere. But is it a tool that empowers your creativity, or does it threaten what makes your work uniquely yours?
There are a lot of opinions about how AI will affect people who work in creative spaces. And yes, even some concerns that it's going to replace creatives entirely. But I gotta ask, is this fear justified?
Hello and welcome to First Frame, where creators come for answers. Brought to you by Tell a Story Hive. I'm Jennifer Park.
And I'm Cameron Zinger. And it's our pleasure to officially welcome you to season two of the podcast.
This time around, we're going to dive into the practical and ethical challenges facing Canadian content creators in 2026. From protecting your work and building an audience to greening your set and becoming an even better interviewer.
With insights from emerging creators, seasoned pros, and industry insiders, it's our goal to give you clear and actionable advice you can use right now.
As we've been saying from the start, Canadian creators need a podcast to call home.
And this is it.
It's not a stretch to say AI is literally everywhere at the moment, and it's influencing every step of the traditional creative process, from researching, writing, and storyboarding to audio and video editing, and even how people pitch and promote their projects.
But how do you cut through all the hype to find tools that can really help you? What are the ethical implications that you need to consider? And do creators really need to worry about, could they be replaced by AI?
To help us answer these complex questions, it's my pleasure to introduce our first guest of the season. Catherine Warren is the president of FanTrust Entertainment Strategies. Catherine, welcome to First Frame. Great to see you.
So great to be here. Appreciate it.
So Catherine, there's a lot to talk about when it comes to AI. But first, can you tell us and our listeners and viewers a little bit about FanTrust and your role there?
Of course, yeah. So I'm Catherine Warren, president of FanTrust, where we are celebrating 25 years of global innovation.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Yes, working at the intersection of entertainment and economic development. So since about 2016, innovation has tended to mean things like artificial intelligence, sustainability, and inclusion. And on the entertainment side, we work with television studios, broadcasters, video games, and esports on new tech and business models. And on the economic development side, we work with funds, governments, and higher education on innovation strategies for sustainable and inclusive growth. And recently, I've developed ethical AI strategies for companies such as TELUS and co-created a fair and transparent marketplace where television rights holders can be compensated for AI training content. And I also launched with a team in Edmonton, Canada's first ethical artificial intelligence accelerator fund, which focuses on AI for social good.
Oh, wow. You're not busy at all, Catherine.
It's a great time to be working in innovation, that's for sure.
Let's dive into the AI conversation that we're going to have today. So first, I think we should address the huge elephant in the room. AI is a very polarizing topic amongst creators right now. So what is your overall philosophy towards it?
Well, I'm really focused on ethical AI. And so what are ethics? Well, we can define ethics as that philosophical study of what is right and wrong, these guiding norms for individuals and societies, for businesses, for industries, and they're shaped over centuries and cultures and disciplines. So ethics does itself evolve. So you asked me kind of where I sit with artificial intelligence. First and foremost, it's an exciting new creative tool. It is not without its downsides. And I'm a huge proponent of using it ethically and responsibly.
So with that, you're talking about the ethics side of it. So what would you say to a creator? Obviously, they don't have to use AI, but what would you say to a creator who has ethical or environmental concerns about using AI?
Well, I think of this in terms of like five C's. So if you focus on these, chances are you'll be on the right side of history. So first of all, clarity be open and be clear about when and how AI is used in your creative and business processes. And that includes being open with your team, with your funder, with your audiences. Next would be consent. Specifically, identify the source material for the data, the images, or voices, and make sure you're getting permission to use these things in conjunction with AI. Credit is also important. So you want to give your creators, contributors, and AI credit appropriately, which is a type of disclosure, really, identifying that you're using AI. Compensation. You know, I mentioned earlier that I've co-created this transparent marketplace to compensate rights holders. So compensation is critical. Make sure human contributors are paid fairly when their work trains or integrates into AI models. And then finally, cultural integrity. Respect the stories, the voices, the imagery, the data sovereignty, and especially from underrepresented communities that are often left out of the technology or AI or funding equation.
Definitely sounds like there are a lot of things that creators should take into consideration when using AI. So the question I think that's pressing for me right now is, like, what benefits do you see for creators using AI? In your opinion, what do you think are the benefits of it for them?
Well, it's an innovation machine. And creators are the right people to be at the forefront of the creative economy and therefore artificial intelligence. And by that, I mean, you know, if it's used wisely, it can help us with our own creativity and our own innovation. Mm-hmm. So it's super important that those of us that work in the creative economy are leading when it comes to artificial intelligence, that we're not just letting technology, Silicon Valley, venture capital drive the future of AI, that we're taking control of this destiny and that we are taking it in the direction and the ethical direction that we need to see it go in order to keep pushing the forefront of the field that we work in, television, video games, the creator economy, et cetera.
Well, it sounds like from what you're saying that there is a benefit to creators jumping in and being part of AI instead of sort of standing back and being a little bit nervous and letting things evolve without their input, which is really exciting. But I want to go back to the five C's that you mentioned, because I believe one of them where you talked about credit. So when it comes to creators, how should they approach concerns around credit or plagiarism if they're utilizing AI in their work processes, in their creativity process, or anything like that? And then what kind of rights do they have to content that they might create as part of AI? Because I know this question has come up quite a lot with our creators in the past.
Mm-hmm. It's a great question. You know, in Canada, the focus needs to be on the creator first, taking charge in order for things to even be copyrightable. So right now, you need to ensure that there's human oversight when it comes to using AI. And it helps to document exactly how did I use AI for this process? Did I use it for the pitch deck? Did I use it for development? Did I use it for production, for post-production, for distribution, for sales, for marketing? So encouraging your team to get familiar with AI tracking and the tools that you're using at very specific stages is going to help you protect your own rights as someone who's using AI in the creative process. All that said, however, there is a ton of embedded AI now in everything that we do and everything that we use that touches technology. So it's in our phones, it's in our browsers, it's in our search engines, and it's getting harder and harder to document exactly how and when you're using AI. So I think that over time, that documentation need could go away because AI will be organic to so much of what we're using, particularly in making film and television.
it almost takes me back to, you know, in the 80s when CGI, you know, it's coming into play, it's being used more and more. You would see that, you knew what it was, but it just became such a norm that you didn't have to necessarily add anything into your credits that you used computer-generated images or that you used a green screen or whatever the case is. It just became part of the filmmaking process and a norm to audiences.
Yeah. And what you're saying is important because creators have shown this elasticity about adopting and embracing new kinds of technology at every step of their professional growth. The thing that makes AI different, of course, is that there seems to be more of an autonomous component to it. And right now, we still have to remind ourselves that AI is a derivative machine, meaning it's using original source material created by humans. It's kind of a packaging machine. It's a replicator. It is not capable of original thought or creativity.
Yeah, that's so true. I usually comment that I look at it more as an assistant, that when it's supporting the work that I'm doing, it's not doing the work, if that makes sense. It's literally coming in to support what I'm doing. And I think you mentioned it earlier about human oversight. So that when you go to work with AI and then at the end, whatever the output is, again, there should be a human oversight. So I really do view it just more as an assistant than an actual going to replace someone and actually do their work. It's just support in the work that the person's doing.
Exactly. You know, AI can be a bit of a double-edged sword, right? Or maybe even an AK-47. So it's powerful, it's ubiquitous.
Powerful
and
image.
It's dangerous in the wrong hands.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah, 100%. And so when you think about it, it is like this like very slap-happy, keen intern that seems very eager to please, but if you don't give it good direction, it's going to be a very chaotic outcome for everyone involved. You know, earlier, Jennifer, you alluded to the concerns people have about, let's say, AI harms. So concerns about things like job loss, about deepfakes, about misinformation at scale. I think it's also important to be aware as an audience member, as a consumer of video content, when you're viewing AI slop, I'll call it.
Yes.
So these AI videos are all over our social feeds, they're all over the internet, and it's getting harder to tell, like, can we trust what we see with our own eyes? And this bad stuff has gotten so good, so fast, that we don't have the same way of fact-checking it that we used to. So we used to be able to say, oh, like there are missing limbs or body parts blurring into buildings. Those things would be visual cues to us that we were looking at AI. But now with like the increased quality, we have to have new ways to identify what we're seeing, whether it's slop or not. And so there are a few good techniques that we can employ. One of the ways is context. So you ask yourself, like, how likely is this scenario to be real and documented on video?
Right.
You might also want to check it with credible news sources. You know, is the content covered by professional media? You can also check the length. Some of this AI content is very, very short, and that can often be a clue that it's AI generated. Of course, it can be stitched together. And then finally, what I think of as like the cloak of darkness, is the video grainy? Is it black and white? Does it give off this fake security cam vibe? You might have seen that viral video of bunnies jumping on a trampoline. That's AI. So the real risk probably is not that people believe a fake video is real, but that people won't believe real content when they see it. And there's something called the liar's dividend. So if everyone assumes that everything is fake all the time, then the people who win are the bad guys, because they can claim that a video of someone doing something horrible was a deep fake. And so this is why accountability is so important. And it becomes very difficult in a world where everyone thinks that everything is fake all the time.
Let's take a moment, change the pace of things, and let's do something a little bit fun. Why don't we put 30 seconds on the clock, Catherine, and we're going to play a little game we like to call What's in Your Kit?
So since we're talking about AI today, I think it makes sense that we pick an AI tool or a platform. So Catherine, if you could only pick one, what would be your go-to in your toolkit?
My favorite tool right now is Storm Genie. It comes out of Stanford and it allows you to create these wonderfully well-researched papers from different points of view. That's the Storm, and Storm Genie is brainstorm. And it's like bringing a team of incredible brainstormers together to focus on your topic of choice. And then I like to take that white paper and put it into something called Google Notebook. That can very quickly turn something that's dry but very well researched into a fun podcast with two human-sounding hosts.
Oh, I definitely know about Notebook. I love it myself, and I would recommend to anyone listening to check it out as well. So we've discussed AI and some of the concerns. Now let's get into the tangible advice for our listeners and viewers. First, how can creators stand out in an AI-saturated environment?
Well,
tough question.
That's such a great question. And only you can be you, right? So chances are you're in this business because you have story to tell, your voice is so important, and that's not something that AI can do. That's just based on your life experiences, your neural networks, your interests, your connections. And so continue to lean into that. That's what will make you unique. The other thing I say is get familiar with the AI tools in your specific area. So if you're a director, what are the best tools for directors? If you're a development executive, if you work in streaming, how to reduce churn, like there's an AI for that. And become a thought leader or your team expert in this new arena where AI intersects with your role.
I love that advice, especially because I love the idea of utilizing AI. I feel, for myself in particular, somewhat overwhelmed because there's so many tools out there, where to even begin. So from a creator perspective, what do you think are some maybe new skills that they need to learn in order to make the most out of AI that's out there for them?
Well, I'll give you some examples of specific tools that are out there. Some are free, some are paid, and you can kind of make the decision based on your interests and your budget. There's a suite of tools called Largo AI that allows you to do things like casting. It allows you to do an AI character analysis and to also look at the demographics that would be most likely to appreciate the content that you're creating. So I think of that suite of tools almost like having a business studio backing you and supporting you. Those are not normally things pre-AI that we would have access to. And it's drawn from hundreds of thousands of scripts, shows, streaming platforms, et cetera. So you're getting a really good overview of what is likely to resonate based on the type of content that you're creating. That's one example. That's a software that requires a license. And then there's a great free creative toolkit called Perchance that allows you to do episode generation, script generation, dialogue generation, and season-to-season generation. So it's fantastic for you in creating your pitch deck to give it that depth and richness that otherwise would have taken you a very long time, but it's still built on your vision. It gives you things like incredible visuals, really great scenes and settings, and it adds kind of color and flavor to something that you'd be pitching regardless of AI.
How do creators ensure that when they're using the AI tool, that it doesn't just become a crutch for them? Do you have any advice for our listeners?
Yeah, I know what you mean about it being a crutch. Like all of those things.
All of the above, right?
All of the above. Like we're just operating at the pace of change. I do think this is a thrilling time for creators and for lifelong learners. Mm-hmm. I like to think of AI as like an orchestra of instruments, but you are the conductor or you are the first violin, and you're the person who decides whether it sounds like a symphony or a cat banging on a piano. So, you know, you want to like tune yourself up, get ready for this. You want to play with the AI and make it your own. And you don't want to let this whole AI is everywhere, I've already missed the boat, that kind of noise can really overwhelm you at the expense of your own voice. So don't let AI and the fear or the overwhelm drown out your own voice.
I want to dive into one question, though, and that is the question that is ultimately at the center of this episode. And I think the question that creators are asking themselves is, will AI replace creators entirely? So what roles do you see, being familiar with the entertainment industry, that would be reshaped most dramatically by AI?
You know, you're likely referring to that catchphrase, which is, you won't lose your job to AI, but you will lose your job to someone who uses AI.
Yes.
So
Heard that a lot.
Yeah, we've heard that a lot, and it's true to an extent. But what's also true is there will be an entirely new horizon of exciting job opportunities. And it does remind me of the advent of the web. Think of all the new careers that the internet spawned, mm-hmm. that social media created, that the web has spun for us. So this is a new era, and what you can do to, you know, stay sharp, get micro-credentials, peer learning, reach out to me. I'm so happy to like guide people on an AI trajectory that makes sense for them. You know, also take it one step at a time. Like just enjoy using it for 10 or 15 minutes every day as part of, let's say, keeping your skills sharp. And over time, you're going to discover what resonates with you, what really helps your craft, and what you're going to reject or what you might want to advocate against. So, you know, stay sharp, stay focused, and stay on it.
Yeah. I really appreciate the positive spin that you put on it with, you know, sort of this world of possibilities, but also that cautious frame of mind as you go into utilizing it. It's not necessarily a requirement. It could be helpful. It could be beneficial with you, but take what works, leave what doesn't. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, AI is often pitched like it's going to run the whole show. That's absolutely not the case. The human oversight is what's always going to run the show, especially when it comes to media and entertainment. Mm-hmm. That said, I do think of AI as a kind of like sorcery and magic fairy dust in the best possible way. So we want to be the good witches whenever we use it and use it ethically and responsibly.
100%. And the tools are so powerful. And to be honest with you, when you think about it too, it's reducing barriers. It's making things less expensive for some individuals too that may not have the dollars to mm-hmm. produce that one scene where there's explosions and all the rest. Like it's really reducing some of the costs for people and reducing the barrier to entry when it comes to content creation, which I think is really cool. But at the same time, it's all about using ethically, making sure that there's human oversight. There's so many things you need to think about, but it is a really cool time to be in the media industry, in my personal opinion.
A lot of focus is on what Hollywood is doing with AI and how they're using AI to make things cheaper. But here in Canada, and in particular for independent producers, we can take a really interesting opportunity to use AI not to make something cheaper or update an existing format, but to truly make something new that only we can make. So out there, go forth. I want to offer you every encouragement.
Catherine, this has been a really timely and valuable conversation, in my opinion. But before we wrap things up, can you share any resources for our creators who still maybe aren't sure where, you know, they stand on AI and how they can actually use it?
I would say take a look at what others in your industry are recommending when it comes to AI. Like I say, please reach out to me. I'm very happy to guide and direct you. And then look at what some of the big players are publishing in terms of their ethical and responsible AI charters, including AI for sustainability, to make sure that you're using the tool ethically and effectively.
Thank you so much for sharing those. I know we in the industry have seen lots of sort of the big players and organizations launching documents with incredible resources. So hopefully our creators will be able to read some of those and it will help them along their journeys. I want to thank you so much for being here to kick off our brand new season of First Frame.
Fantastic to be with you today.
Well, Jen, we sure did pick a doozy of a topic to start season two off for the podcast. What's your biggest takeaway, though, from our chat with Catherine?
It's definitely a big topic, but I would say my biggest takeaway that I'm hoping our creators got from this episode is that AI's there. It's something we have to live with. It's something that's, you know, within everything that you're probably going to do as far as a creator. So be open to it, be mindful of it, but also be cautious of it and just making sure that you are taking that time to learn it, see where it's going to work for you, see where maybe it's not going to work for you, and take it from there and make sure that your story and your passion and your idea always remains at the forefront. What about you?
Yeah, I'm like, for me, we heard a lot about the ethical use of it. So I think that's really important for our listeners, making sure that when you are using it, that you're thinking about the ethics of using it. And then that there's that human oversight that we talked about too, right? Like it's not there to replace you. It's there to support as an assistant or assist in what you're doing. And then the other piece I think heard loud and clear is that there's so many tools out there. I don't think you can actually be an expert in all of them. So it's like, maybe you find that niche that you're really good at and then find those tools that can help you really elevate your craft.
So that's it for the season two premiere of First Frame, brought to you by Tell a Story Hive. Thanks so much to you, our viewers and listeners, for joining us today.
Please hit follow so you don't miss a single episode. And if you'd like to learn more about Tell a Story Hive and how we can help you along your creative journey, you can check out storyhive.com.
Until next time, I'm Jennifer Park.
And I'm Cameron Zinger. That's a wrap.